Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
We have no idea who's going to win the election for President of the United States tomorrow. But if you're holding a gun to my head, and please don't do that, I know you got to shoot through the media sometimes to get to President Trump. But if you hold a gun to my head, hypothetically, and you make me answer the question, who do you think is going to win? I'm saying Kamala Harris is going to win tomorrow. Again, that's just my gut. I have no idea. You can see 50 polls that say Trump's in the lead. You see 50 polls that say Kamala Harris is in the lead. And if Donald Trump wins tomorrow, I won't be shocked or surprised at all. But if you're asking me right now, who do I think is going to win the election? I'm going to say Kamala Harris. Jor?
My gut says Trump.
Okay.
And
by the way,
I've never wished to be wrong about something so much in my life, but my gut says Trump. I have friends, many, that are voting for Trump, which is different
from elections past. As do I.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Harrises stayed with the Harrises, but the only people I know that switched to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the listeners have said, no, I voted for Trump in the past, and now I'm voting for Harris. I get that. But the ones in my personal circle...
Mm-hmm.
Voting for Trump. So that's my gut. I hope I'm wrong.
And by the way, at various points in the last couple of months, you were the one saying, like, you and I, there were various points in the last couple of months where I thought it's not going to be close. I just thought, like, she was going to walk away with it.
Me too.
But
that's true.
And there's no, there's no denying that it's close. But again, it's a coin flip. It's like if mm-hmm. like we said, either one wins tomorrow, nobody's going to be that surprised. So, it's gut check time, everybody. 651-461-9226. This is your gut instinct. And I'm sure, like, your preference plays a role. Like, you really want someone to win. But who do you think is going to win? 651-461-9226. We will fire up the Stiles Financial Talk and text line. And we want to hear from you, too. Like, I know a lot of people are nervous today. And
David, what's your gut?
Yeah, Dave, we didn't get to you. DJ?
I feel like my answer to this question would have changed multiple times in the last 6 months.
Might just change multiple times in the last week.
Well,
by the way.
There you go.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Today I say Harris, and it's totally, I mean, like you said, you look at the polls and you go toss up or a few points here or there. So really it's gut feeling, and that's just, seeing the people in my sphere of influence that I know a lot of people on both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it comes down to people who maybe support a lot of what the Republicans do and a lot of what Trump does and mm-hmm. policy, but can't quite stomach the rhetoric. And to me,
or just sick of them.
But if we were that close, if we were razor close 4 years ago, the rhetoric and distaste for Trump has gotten ratcheted up since then. So then to me, that tips the scales, not by a lot, but by a little bit towards Harris.
All right. Well, you guys are making me feel a little bit better. Because, you know, over the weekend, Trump did joke about shooting reporters.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
right. I mean,
we're not reporters anymore, but, you know.
And again, it's just like, I mean, that's his closing argument. It's been, and that, which again, why... I agree with Dave, and I think why I'm saying this, and again, do I want Kamala Harris to win? Absolutely. I don't want Donald Trump anywhere near the White House anymore. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it could go either way. But his closing argument, if you call it that or whatever it is, every time I tune in, it's complete lunacy. And even the people at his rallies look like they're disinterested. And that's it. Just being exhausted with the man. And I think there's a lot of people that once they get in that voting booth, too, we'll say the same thing. I can't. Doesn't mean they're going to vote for Kamala Harris, but they might vote for somebody else. And I think that might make the difference here. But again, if Donald Trump is elected 47th president of the United States tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday, I won't be surprised at all.
And also, I know this is going to sound crazy, and we see your texts coming in, so thank you. Keep them coming. We'll read them. I won't feel crazed. I spent the weekend sort of surrendering and practicing my breathing techniques and saying, I have no control over this. I mean, I right. already voted. Yep. That's the control. I exerted as much control as I could. So I have released it. That's mm-hmm. really what right. I was working on this weekend. Okay, let's walk through worst case scenario. Let's walk this through. Okay, let's say he does get elected. Let's say he's in the high, that's 4 more years. I still have to work 4 more years. We got to talk about this almost daily. Like, I have to accept that. And I will, by the way, I will. Right. I am someone who believes in the, you
democracy,
know, the transfer of peaceful transfer right. of power.
People
and
speak.
Elections have
with
consequences.
Our votes. Yep.
That's right. And if Donald Trump is elected, that is the president that we deserve. And if Kamala Harris is elected, excuse me, sorry, that is the president that we deserve. So that's what I have worked on this weekend. Just, you know, acceptance. All you AAers know, you know, accept the things you cannot change, yep. change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Right.
So I hopefully will be able to practice what I've been preaching to myself, which is acceptance. Let's get to some of these texts.
Sure. Jordana, I have a hard time separating my feelings about my friends that are voting for Trump. I can't get past his vile behavior, and I find myself distancing myself from them. You are better than me. Okay, but you didn't answer a question. What does your gut say? Harris is leading in Iowa. Harris, I think enough Trump supporters won't make the effort to vote. Iowa poll may be the harbinger for tomorrow. Women are pissed off. And then another one says, I don't think women, Harris's support amongst women is not what you would expect. My gut says Trump.
Trump, even Minnesota. Likely Democrat, not Democrat for sure. Wow, you don't think Minnesota could go for Trump? I didn't consider that.
Well, there's a.
I don't think that's going to happen.
David did put in a note. Again, you can find so many different polls that, mm-hmm. and one suggests that Minnesota is still a toss-up. I don't think so. I think the vice president will win Minnesota fairly easily. Again, I could be wrong, mm-hmm. but we'll see.
The thing about the friends, and I've talked to my friends at length about this, and then sometimes we agree, look, if we're going out to dinner, which we did this weekend, some friends, I said, no politics. Of course, it always veers back to politics, but everyone was on best behavior. But I hear their here's the deal about dealing with friends, and this person brings up a really good point that they can't seem to, let it go with their friends, or mm-hmm. at least accept their friends are voting for Trump. I talked to them. Okay, what's the reason? Like, really, what's the reason? What's the real reason? And then I guess I respect their concerns. I do. There is no perfect candidate. I respect them and respect their concerns. And I also am always open to the fact that I might not know everything. I might not fully understand everything. I know who I'm going to vote for. I know who I voted for. And I feel good in that answer, but I'm the one who has to sleep with my decisions, accept my decisions for the long haul. So I accept that they feel differently. And, there's always room that I'm wrong. And if they're right, or if more than half of the country believes they're right, okay. Then again, mm-hmm. I have to accept that. I just work on acceptance. So I don't know. I've done a lot of work trying to separate the two because I love my friends and they've been good friends.
Right.
generally good people.
Again, most of my friends will be voting for Donald Trump tomorrow, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's your choice.
Somebody's asking, Adam, how do your friends defend January 6th? They don't. I don't know how you feel about that, Adam, but mine don't. Like, that's not something that we talk about. And I don't think they would defend January 6th. I think they would say that was wrong. Like, when you vote for a candidate, you don't have to agree with them 100%. You can say, this person is a bad person. This person is a criminal or a sex offender. You can say and believe in that, but you must have some pretty strong convictions mm-hmm. for why you're still voting for that person. And you know what? I'm working on acceptance.
Yep.
That's it. And I do love my friends. They've been good friends. So I can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I can't. I wouldn't have any friends.
651-461-9226. The Stiles Financial.com talk and text line is open. Your gut. We're doing a gut check. Not who you want, who you think is going to win tomorrow. Let us know via text and call after this on CCO.
Your texts are pretty strong. They really are. I'm afraid it will be Trump, but I'm hoping for Harris. The rhetoric he continues to speak scares me for our future. How much damage can he do in 4 years? And that's, by the way, something I've seen echoed on the text line. Okay, and it's different people's tones. Well, how much damage can he really do? And how much damage can he do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get it that people are afraid.
Yeah.
We're asking today for your gut. Adam's gut is Harris. My gut is Trump. We're asking for yours. 651-461-9226.
Got a phone call here. Should we go to Maria in Elk River? Maria, you're up. What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me I'm afraid. If Donald Trump gets in, anyone who read Project 2025 should be afraid. I want Harris, but I don't know.
You don't
I'm
know?
Afraid.
So if you...
What is your gut?
What does your gut say, though? Who is it? You got to tell us.
Okay, Harris.
All right, Maria, thank you. Our friend Donna...
And we can hear the wishful thinking in Maria's voice as she says, Harris. I get it, Maria. I hear you, Swiss sister.
Donna in St. Peter, our friend Donna. Donna, what's your gut tell you?
Oh, hi, sweetie.
I say Harris.
Okay, do you know something we don't? Who are you talking to out in St. Peter?
No, I just feel that deep down inside. How foolish would our country look if we have a president that is convicted sex offender, a liar, says that reporters should be shot? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that promotes violence. I think that Walz and Harris could bring our country back together and show the world that we're a good country.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot to offer this
mm-hmm.
world.
Mm-hmm.
And my gut says that's what most of the people want. They want us to come back together
mm-hmm.
and be a nation and not be so divided. That's my gut feeling.
I hope you're feeling good, sweetheart. Okay, text me how you're doing, okay?
Yep, and the other one thing I want to say is Friday, I'm thinking because, well, Adam's got the palatial estate in Rosemont, all the flyers that we've gotten in the last 6 months, we have a big bonfire and have cocktails.
Don't do it. Yeah, that's a great idea. By the way, I was going to start the show today. You know what? Let's push the election back another month because we all want to talking about the election. By the way, from the texter from the 763, you only get one vote. And you've sent in 15 times Trump. We get it. You like Trump.
Trump.
Send it again and I'm going to block you because you're skewing the votes. You're doing that's election interference there, 763 area code person. Another text here. I think Trump will win because Harris loses Pennsylvania due to a rejection of Shapiro. That's a big possibility. We'll see.
Yes, and we're reading that campaign might be saying we picked the wrong guy. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not inside their campaign. I don't know. But what's done is done, friend. She can't go back.
Gut says Harris this time around. It was unfortunately I was unfortunately right in 2016 and thankfully right in 2020. Harris is going to win because people have figured out how evil Trump is. That's from Pat in Columbia Heights. Vote them all out. The only way we get a viable option is vote for a third party. I'm voting Libertarian. Trump will take the swing states for the win. Kamala doesn't sound like a strong contender when she speaks without the prompter. I'm not saying Trump is a great choice. I was going to say, if you like Trump off prompter too, I mean, I don't know what's going on there anymore. But it seems like with every rally, he is just... But, again... If he wins tomorrow, I will not be surprised.
Well, that's it. And that's the thing. That's why I say Trump, because nothing surprises me.
Yeah.
You know, you can list all of Trump's bad qualities. You can list all of Kamala's missteps or, you know, double-sided speak, what she told people and then told somebody else another thing. You can list all of it, but I don't know that any of us truly know the truth.
Right.
Or that they know the truth of what they're saying. You know, it seems to be that both candidates are telling different factions of our society that they're going to be a champion for them, but telling people in opposition to them that they will be a champion for them.
Mm-hmm.
So now we just have politicians that are openly lying to everybody just to get votes. So what is the truth here? How will they govern? That's why I think it's a crapshoot, because I don't believe what either one says they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they will govern. That's why at this point it's gut, and yep, we'll live with the consequences.
Kyle is called in from North Branch. Kyle, what's your gut tell us?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I have been canvassing for the DFL, you know, since August. From my perspective, I think that Harris is definitely going to take Minnesota. You know, in 2016, a lot of there were a lot of secret Trump voters, right? Mm-hmm. You'd ask them, who are they going to vote?
Yep.
Their business, and it turned out they were all voting for Trump. But I think it's flipped. You know, I get people who are going to vote for Harris, and I ask if they want a free yard sign, and they're afraid that their neighbors are going to vandalize their yard or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I think that the secret voters this year are going to be for Harris.
Kyle, thanks for the call. I'll say this, though, on that note, which is why in my trips up north, where in 2016 and 2020, lots of Trump signs. I mean, overwhelming. Like, you barely saw any Biden signs up there. I saw a lot of Harris Wall signs, even in rural Minnesota. And again, signs don't vote, and signs won't tell us who's going to win president. But I think, to Kyle's point, is that even the silent voters who say, yeah, I'm going to vote for Harris, but I want to, you know, publicize it. A lot of those people are saying, nope, I'm going to publicize it, and I'm putting that sign in my yard. And that's certainly in Minnesota. I mean, I don't think this is going to be a state that goes to Trump. Again, I could be wrong, but I feel like
I don't think so either.
I think there's a lot of people like that out there.
Also, the Walls factor. I mean, I don't know how much he's helping her.
Yeah. Right. Not even in this state, because like he's a very divisive figure in this state, is Tim Walz. Mm. So
I guess it would just be super embarrassing if the guy who's from our state didn't get our vote.
Well, you know, but he is a very, you know, is Tim Walz is not well liked in outstate greater Minnesota. Jennifer is in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Jennifer's in Stillwater. Jennifer, you're up. What's your gut tell you?
Hi. Yeah, I would like to say that actually all the violent rhetoric has been coming from the Democratic Party and the media.
What does your gut say? That wasn't the question, Jennifer. What does your gut tell you? That's what we're asking, by the way. And the violent rhetoric, I mean, come on. You're just putting your head in the sand. If you haven't heard what Donald Trump said this very weekend about somebody shooting him, they'd have to shoot through reporters, and he'd be okay with that. So you're just choosing to ignore that. That's fine. Okay, so give us the question that I asked. What does your gut tell you? Who's going to win?
I would say Trump.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Yep, thank you. You got your point. You answered the question. But again,
Well done, Adam.
Well, you're just putting your head in the sand. You're just not ignoring. You're just like the only violent rhetoric. Yes, has there been violent rhetoric from Democrats? Yes. But come on. I mean, just be honest. Just be honest with yourself. You don't have to change your vote. He's still your guy. Great. But just don't lie and say, like, just put your head in the sand. Oh, no, the only violent rhetoric is coming from the left.
Mm-hmm. And that's why when people say, how do my friends defend things like January 6th or sexual violence or criminality, they don't defend it.
Right.
You know, they understand that that's wrong. And it's okay to say that your candidate did something wrong.
Right.
You know, we're humans. We're multifaceted.
Right.
I don't have to defend Kamala Harris's missteps. And other people don't have to defend Trump's criminal sexuality, you know, criminal sexual conduct. But you can still be voting for him. It doesn't mean that you excuse that behavior. It means that this is the choice that we're given. And this is the choice that you're making. Don't expect me to defend Kamala Harris to the death. I'm not going to.
There's no perfect candidate.
Thank you. And I think also we have to, this is, again, I've been doing a lot of introspective thinking about this over the weekend. If you're voting for Trump, you're not a bad person.
No.
You have reasons for voting for Trump. If you're voting for Kamala, you're not a bad person.
Correct.
You have reasons for voting for Kamala.
Right.
And we all talk about wanting to meet more in the middle, wanting to hear each other out. But let's start. Let's not get on the radio and say the violence is only on one side or the rhetoric is only on one side. We know what we're living in.
And just to Jennifer's point, too, on Friday when you were off, I came on the air and my first half hour was talking about what Donald Trump said about Liz Cheney and all the people going nuts about it. He said he suggested she's in front of a firing squad. I said, no, that's not what he said. He said he suggested that she, if she's a war hawk, she should go to war, which many, many other people have also suggested. So if you're, I just want to be clear, I'm calling it out when I see it, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's not lie and pretend that they're saying things that they're not, and let's be consistent about it. That's all I ask. But that's such a great point, Jor, about how that, and that's the biggest problem of this whole situation we're in, when we think that people who don't vote like us are our enemy. That's a scary mm-hmm. place to be. We're not.
We got a great text when I was with you on Thursday, and the person said that they were voting for Kamala and had like a Kamala sign, but she said all of her neighbors are Trump supporters. And she said she was sick, and those Trump supporters came and mowed her lawn and plowed her driveway, and that they were great neighbors. And again, those are good people. We've really put each other in boxes where our political lines are that this is who you are. Not all Trump supporters are racist. Nobody's saying, well, I don't know, maybe some people are saying that, but certainly nobody's saying it here on this show. And I think, honestly, that needs to be, Adam, you and I have a responsibility to ease that tension instead of set it on fire. And that's why I come out very openly and say some of my dearest friends in the world are voting for Trump and I still love them. We've talked about it. I don't have to agree. I don't have to make them defend everything he's done because they can't. And they say they can't. I get that. But we're in a pickle with this election. Nobody is perfect, but it's happening anyway.
Yep.
And working on acceptance worked for me this weekend to kind of really tone down my own angst,
yep.
my own anxiety.
We'll get through it.
We're late for
the, we'll get yeah, through it together. Late. And the Vikings won, Jar. The Vikings won.
Woo!
The Gophers won. The Wild are red hot. We got a lot of positivity coming up. Brian Murphy, it's our Monday Morning Murph coming up next on CCO.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's your Monday Morning Murph. Brian Murphy from Bring Me the News, Purple Insider. All things Minnesota sports, we start with the Vikings, who ended the losing streak at two games with a victory last night. Sunday night game over the Indianapolis Colts. And, Murph, if you look at last night's game, what's your main headline, main takeaway from that victory?
Winning ugly is okay.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a memorable game. And there was enough there that the Vikings did on both sides of the ball to feel good about themselves. There's some things you can raise your eyebrows about. There's plenty of things to nitpick, but overall, as you mentioned, they ended their two game streak. They took care of an inferior opponent at home. They're 6-2 and they got two more dogs on the schedule on the road the next 2 weeks. I mean, this is an opportunity to make some hay.
Two more dogs, meaning like, I don't know the vernacular.
Bad teams.
Oh, okay. Easy wins.
Woof. Yeah. Well, I mean, you go on the road. I mean, it's, you know, they're on the road, but you're right. They're completely winnable games and certainly would be in a good spot when the end of the schedule comes up. We're already talking about the end of the schedule. Yeah, even Brian, you know, in the first half, which was pretty ugly, but they still managed to, you know, they're still moving the ball, which is a good sign.
Yeah, they were productive. They were gaining first downs. They were picking up yards. They were, you know, Sam Darnold was getting the ball to all of his receivers. They were running the ball well, but for a couple of really ugly Sam Darnold interceptions and a strip sack where he got kind of clubbed in the head and may survive, but that was debatable whether he should have gotten they shouldn't have picked up that flag for the scoop and score on Indianapolis. But all of that being said, Darnold didn't wilt. Darnold still made a lot of big throws because he's got a great arm. Justin Jefferson had a great game. Jordan Addison, who was kind of being a little cryptic last week about being left out,
free three,
he made a spectacular catch in the end zone.
Yes,
that was also an excellent throw under duress from Darnold. Oh, by the way, TJ Hawkinson's back in the lineup. the tight end that had been gone for almost a full calendar year because of major knee surgery. Cam Akers made his Minnesota return, so now you got a diversified running attack. I mean, you look at 1 through 5 on all those weapons that they have, the Vikings can be a pretty formidable offense. And yes, you're going to have occasional mistakes from Darnold. This is kind of who he is right now. And if you're playing inferior teams like Indianapolis, Jacksonville next week, Tennessee the week after that, you can probably afford to make those mistakes and recover from them. I wouldn't want to see him against if Darnold played the way he did last night against Detroit or LA, they would not have won those games either. So I don't feel like this is a blueprint for playoff success, but it's a blueprint for what they're doing and how they get can grind out wins. And oh, by the way, a pretty good bounce back win for the defense as well.
Yeah.
Brian, I've become a little more invested in the Minnesota Gophers as my son is a freshman at Minnesota. Adam, is it okay that we move on to the Gophers?
Yeah, absolutely, because I think the Gophers might be the bigger football story this weekend.
So this is exciting. Yeah, four wins in a row. I mean, this is exciting for my son, so therefore exciting for me.
Yeah, I think it's looking pretty good for them. I mean, again, we talk about schedules. I mean, you know, they got to go to Rutgers, and that should be a win. It's never easy. Should be a win. You got a huge game coming up against 6th-ranked Penn State at home, and then they travel to Madison to finish the season November 30th at Wisconsin. But, yeah, they grinded out a win Saturday. It wasn't pretty, just like the Vikings. But Illinois was ranked 24th.
Yep.
They were on the road. Brett Bielema, the Gophers, I think, were 0-10 against him lifetime, including his time in Wisconsin.
Oh, wow.
So they were able to get a victory against their longtime coaching nemesis on the road against a ranked team. Again, 4 wins in a row. You can feel them, sense them getting more and more confident. They should be in pretty good shape heading into that Penn State game, which will be one of the biggest games at Huntington Bank Stadium in a while. So their quarterback, Mac Rosmer, you know, did what he had to do Saturday to get a win. He's starting to get the ball downfield. P.J. Fleck is showing more faith in him as a quarterback, so they're not constantly relying on 3 yards in the cloud of dust. I think there's a lot of good things to feel good about the Gophers. I mean, they have an opportunity to pull off a major upset at home in a couple of weeks. It seems unlikely, but at least they're giving themselves a chance by taking care of opponents the way they have. Both the California teams, USC, big upset win at home, went out to the Rose Bowl and won, took care of an inferior Maryland team at home, took care of a ranked team on the road. It's almost making that kind of ugly loss at home to Iowa, you know, a little bit forgettable right now if they can position themselves for an upset against Penn State.
Before we end here, the Minnesota Wild, again, you never, the people asking me before the season, what do you think of the Wild? And I didn't really see, you know, big changes to the lineup, so you're wondering how good are they going to be? And again, it's a very long season, but boy, they have really started. They are red hot, and they're scoring goals. Their stars are contributing. Something special, hopefully, is happening over at the Xcel Energy Center.
Yeah, oh, by the way, I mean, that kind of snuck up on people.
Yeah.
As you said, I don't think there was a lot of buzz about the team because they were mainly the exact team that missed the playoffs last year coming back. We've talked about their salary cap hindrances. They just haven't had an opportunity to make a lot of moves. But they're getting really good contributions from a lot of different players. Great goaltending from Philip Gustafson. They're 8-1-2 after their OT win last night against Toronto. They host the LA Kings Tuesday before they hit the road again. And, you know, you can argue that it's only the first 10 or 11 games, but the alternative was last season when they were pretty much in the tank by Thanksgiving, had to throw their coach overboard and start anew, and then they just couldn't get to the finish line in time with enough points to make the playoffs. So I think you'll take 8-1-2 over the alternative, but it is a long season. I'm still not 100% sure what this team can be. If anything, they're staying relatively healthy so far, and they're getting contributions from everybody. It's not just Kaprizov, even though he is their leading scorer and is among the NHL's top scorers. It's kind of a diversified way that they're winning, which kind of bodes well for the long grind of an NHL season.
Brian, before we let you go, Adam and I are going to talk in our next segment about these idiots at Penn State who verbally attacked.
One idiot, yeah.
Okay, one idiot at Penn State who verbally attacked, was it Jason Kelsey?
Jason Kelsey making a derogatory comment. Yeah. What the hell is the matter with young men, man?
Right. Like, are the young fans, are they getting, were they always aggressive? Were they always vile? Were they always mean? Is it getting worse?
I don't know if it's getting worse. Dude, bros have always been idiots. I was one of them. But we didn't do everything on our phone, right?
That's right.
But I would never stalk a sports athlete or celebrity with my phone and try to bait them into something with a homophobic remark.
Yeah.
So whatever happened, you know, look, Kelsey lost his temper. He's a public figure, probably regrets doing that. But whoever did this, that kid needs to be outed and shamed. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like, you don't get to just arbitrarily walk up to people and act like that. And I think it's a celebrity obsessed culture that, and kids that want to go viral. And it's like, fine, you may go viral, but you also used a homophobic slur, and good luck finding a job in 5 years when you finally graduate from college after your 10-year run and try to get a job in the real world. That kind of stuff is going to stick to you for a long time, and I think it should.
I hope so.
It does.
Amen, brother.
Yeah,
you're preaching to the choir.
Thanks,
there.
Brian.
All right, Murph, thank you, sir. We'll read your work in both Purple Insider and Bring Me the News, and we'll talk next week.
Hey, just a little preview. Next week, I am going to Jacksonville. St. Paul Dads Without Wives Tour, so this is our annual road trip.
Who doesn't want to go to Jacksonville, by the way, huh?
It's going to be sunny and 80, right?
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I can't complain too much.
But I'll try to make sure. Maybe we'll do a little bit later in the show next Monday, if you don't mind.
That's cool. Absolutely.
But I'll be on the East Coast, so I'll have an hour ahead of you, so I can at least recover enough and be somewhat coherent on us. Hopefully, what standing with my feet in the sand, recapping the weekend.
Oh, you're lucky. And we love Brian.
And who needs coherence?
Yeah.
We're barely coherent. It's okay, love.
Who knows where we'll be in a week from now after tomorrow. Thank you, Brian. Enjoy Jacksonville. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Brian Murphy, 949. Yeah, what the hell is the matter with young men? I think it's a young man problem. And Brian's right. I was a knucklehead, too. I was a bro, too. But I never would go up to somebody with or without a phone and just say a vile, disgusting comment.
No, you wouldn't.
So let's get into that after the break.
Mm-hmm.
9:54, that is your Lindus Construction time check. Time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin. Get free installation labor. Public shaming, I guess. But are they shamed anymore? That's the thing.
You mean the kids who yell slurs?
Right.
And say offensive things, just to go viral? Probably not. But that karma is coming. And, of course, just to reset, we're talking about Jason Kelsey, the brother of Travis Kelsey. He was on campus at Penn State for game day and walking through campus, and some college bro ran up to him and said, "What do you think that your brother is a slur against LGBTQ people?" Yes. And said, "For dating Taylor Swift." So Jason Kelsey grabbed the dude's phone and smashed it on the ground.
Right.
And I say good on him.
Yeah.
I hope it's not considered assault. But when somebody verbally attacks you that way, you don't want it to be recorded. You're angry.
Yeah.
He verbally attacked his brother, used a slur.
Right.
And I bet they get fed up. So I don't think Jason Kelsey did the wrong thing.
I don't either.
But the real question is, where do these kids get the gall to do things? And Adam, you said you were like that, but I don't think you were. I don't think you would have said that to somebody.
I hope not. No.
Used a slur and tried to get him going. Come on. You're better than that. You would not have done that.
Because I know, like, my dad and my mom would have kicked my ass when I got home. And not physically, but they would have, you know, I was afraid of my parents and the consequences I had at home. And I know that's an easy answer. It's like, oh, where are the parents? But, sometimes you got to ask, where are the parents? Did the father and mother of this kid, look at this and, shake?
Say that's okay?
I hope not, because it's not. But if you watch...
But I do think... Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say that there is a segment of younger males. Like, even the comedy that they do, if you look at TikTok, a lot of these guys, it's not... Their pranks are pranks that, make fun of other people or, it's punching down, and I get it. Like each, you know, each generation has their own comedy and what they feel is funny, but I just don't get it. I don't get like punching down at people or trying to get a rise out of people like that. It's just, it's not for me, and I don't think it's very good behavior.
And even if the parents aren't there to say shame, 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 I do believe the world will. Not, of course, the world at large, but as Brian said, when dude goes to get a job, because you know what? The internet is forever.
Yeah.
And if you did something this stupid, this loudly, and this publicly, it might come back to bite you.
We took all David's time to tease quick takes,
but I
know one involves the Oregon Trail. So okay. I'm looking forward to that coming up after the news.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.